Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, September 14th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Futures rise following the worst day for stocks in 2 years.
Positive inflation data in the UK as prices slip from 40-year highs.
In London, Queen Elizabeth's coffin makes its way to Buckingham Palace.
And a rail strike in the U.S. threatens to halt shipments of farm products and autos.
Former New York Governor Cuomo files an ethics complaint against the AG. Plus, Ukrainian troops keep up the pressure on fleeing Russian forces. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another big night for Aaron Judge. 2 home runs and the Yankee win over the Red Sox. The Mets lost again to the Cubs.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 112. NASDAQ futures up 67. And the 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 3.43%. And the yield on the 2-year, 3.77%. Nathan.
Karen, stocks are coming off their worst day since 2020. The S&P 500 dropped 4.3%, while the NASDAQ plunged more than 5%. It was all fueled by hotter than expected inflation data, increasing bets for bigger rate hikes from the Fed. Carol Schleif is Deputy Chief Investment Officer at BMO Family Office.
The market desperately wants to figure out a bullish tone, and they've been fighting the Fed all year. And the Fed's been unequivocal, saying we're going to, you know, they communicated pretty clearly that it's a 0.75 basis point rise. And I think this number took everybody by surprise, but the data's been really sloppy month to month.
Carol Schleif at BMO Family Office says next week's Fed meeting will be crucial for markets.
Well, Nathan, the sell-off spread to Asia overnight, but the price action was more muted than what we saw in the U.S. Japan's Nikkei dropped 2.8%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell 2.5%. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Sydney. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The yen rallied further away from the closely watched 145 per dollar level after the Nikkei reported the Bank of Japan conducted a so-called rate check in the currency market, a move considered a precursor for intervention. Officials in South Korea also ramped up verbal intervention, while China's central bank sent the daily reference rate on the yuan at the strongest bias on record. Asian stocks had their biggest drop since June intraday, with Australian Chinese tech stocks and Japanese shares the laggards. In Sydney, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. As inflation and higher rates continue to weigh on markets, the Fed still has a long way to go. That's according to legendary investor Mark Mobius, who says the Fed's benchmark interest rate could hit 9%.
Their game plan is to make sure that the interest rate is higher than inflation. That's the way they believed the way to kill inflation. So you have 8% CPI. That means you have to have 9% interest rates.
If that forecast from Mark Mobius is right, rates would climb significantly higher than the current 2.5% target rate.
Well, Nathan, the broad-based sell-off is putting more pressure on the Fed to keep up aggressive policy. But when it comes to politics, President Biden says he's not worried about the threat of inflation.
The stock market doesn't necessarily reflect the state of the economy, as you well know. And the economy is still strong. Unemployment's low. Jobs are up. Manufacturing's good. So I think it's I think we're going to be fine.
Worry about the inflation number, though, sir?
No, I'm not.
The president spoke after hosting a celebration at the White House for the Inflation Reduction Act. After those remarks, Bloomberg political contributor Rick Davis says Democrats are starting to look out of touch on the economy.
It's just they cannot get out of their own way. This is a ad ready to be made. Every Republican is going to have this in their quiver. And frankly, they gave back Republicans a message that was starting to dwindle, which is, oh, my God, we got to quit talking about inflation. Well, not now.
Rick Davis spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, in the UK, there's some slightly positive news on inflation. Karen, prices went down a bit, easing off the highest rate in four decades. Today's consumer price index in the UK rose at an annual rate of 9.9%, a drop from 10.1% in July. The Bank of England meets next week. It is expected to raise interest rates either 50 or 75 basis points.
But the bigger story in England right now, Nathan, centers on Queen Elizabeth II. Her coffin is now at Buckingham Palace as people queue up to pay their respects to the Queen. And we go to London and get the latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Queen Elizabeth is set to leave Buckingham Palace today for the very last time. Departing at 2:22 p.m., Her Majesty's coffin will be transported by horse-drawn gun carriage through St. James's Park and on to Westminster. Walking behind his mother's coffin will be the new king, King Charles III, followed by other senior members of the royal family. The Queen's coffin will lie in state in Westminster Hall, the ancient heart of the British Parliament, for 4 days until her funeral on Monday. As many as a million people are expected to join the line to walk past her casket. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ewan. Geopolitics is also in focus this morning. President Xi Jinping is making his first trip outside China in more than 2 years. It gives him a chance to meet Vladimir Putin in person for the first time since Russia began its invasion of Ukraine. We get more from Bloomberg's Stephen Engel in Hong Kong.
Obviously, for Putin, he needs China's support. Perhaps the war, according to many calculations, is not going as planned. And for, you know, Xi Jinping, he is, again, steadfastly sticking to this plan of decentralizing Western institutions and creating a narrative from a Chinese perspective.
Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports Xi and Putin meet tomorrow in Uzbekistan on the sidelines of a security forum. First, President Xi is in Kazakhstan today.
And Nathan, back here in the U.S., a big labor fight is making headlines. A threatened strike could prevent American railroads from transporting farm products and other key goods as soon as tomorrow and could cost the U.S. economy $2 billion a day. President Biden is personally trying to break the logjam between railroads and labor unions. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh will meet with railroad and union representatives today.
Futures are moving higher, Karen. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 110. NASDAQ futures up 65 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 7/32. The yield 3.43%. NYMEX crude up 0.4% at $87.67 a barrel. Local headlines and a check of sports next. This is Bloomberg. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, 64 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident westbound LIE at Maurice Avenue. We're coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo filed an ethics complaint against State Attorney General Letitia James about the way she handled a sexual harassment investigation that led to his resignation last year. Cuomo questioned the accuracy and credibility of the investigation's findings, alleging James, a fellow Democrat, used the probe to tarnish him. Cuomo says James, who briefly ran for governor, had her own politically motivated and self-interest-driven agenda. Rhode Island Governor Dan McKee won Tuesday's Democratic gubernatorial primary. He thanked supporters.
So I am so honored to stand here before you tonight, not just as your governor, but as the Democratic nominee for governor of Rhode Island.
Governor McKee got the most with 33%. In the fall, McKee will face Republican Ashley Kellis, who got 84%. In New Hampshire, the Republican contest for Senate remains a tight race between conservative Donald Bolduc and the more moderate Chuck Morse. Republicans see Democratic incumbent Senator Maggie Hassan as beatable in the general election. The final primaries for 2022 were also held in Delaware. The mayor of Boston is thanking law enforcement for a speedy response last night after a package exploded on the campus of Northeastern University, injuring a staff member. The 45-year-old man suffered minor injuries to his hand and was taken to a local hospital. Mayor Michelle Wu.
I just want to thank all of our first responders for a very, very swift, coordinated, and effective response within minutes. Our police department and EMS and fire department were here.
Mayor Wu says a search revealed a second similar package that was ultimately rendered safe by the bomb squad. Ukrainian troops continue to pressure retreating Russian forces, pressing deeper into occupied territory and sending more Kremlin troops fleeing. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder on Russia.
Clearly, they've demonstrated their intent to keep fighting in Ukraine and to prolong their illegal occupation.
General Ryder says the progress by the Ukrainians in the field came as no surprise. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan Aaron Boone was asked last night to describe Aaron Judge's performance in this remarkable season. He said, "I have run out of adjectives." In Boston, Judge hit a solo home run sixth inning to tie the game at three, and then came up two innings later.
1-1. Swung on, there it goes. Deep left field, it is high. It is far. It has gone out of the building. Over the high green monster, over the monster seats, out onto Lansbone. He is phenomenal. The second home run of the night for Judge, his 57th of the year, and we're all tied at four.
On WFAN, the game was still 4-4, 10th inning, when Gleyber Torres delivered a three-run double. The Red Sox got two back, bottom of the 10th, but Wandy Peralta struck out Rafael Devers, and the Yanks won 7-6. It's the 10th multi-home run game of the season for Judge. The record is 11. Hank Greenberg, 1938, and with 57 homers, Judge is inching closer to Roger Maris's 61. At Citi Field, second straight Mets loss to the lowly Cubs, 4-1. Rare loss for Jacob deGrom. Mets didn't help, gaining only four hits. And Atlanta won 5-1 at San Francisco. The Braves are only a half game behind. Mike Trout did not homer for the Angels. He was trying to tie the record for the homer in eight straight games. The Twins came up two outs short of a combined no-hitter against Kansas City. WNBA playoffs, Las Vegas 85, Connecticut 71. So the Aces are up two games to none. They can win the WNBA championship tomorrow night at the Mohegan Sun. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures moving higher by 21 points. Dow futures up 127. NASDAQ futures are higher by 72 points now. The 10-year Treasury is down 7/32. The yield, 3.43%. Yield on the two-year, 3.77%. Context on this market after yesterday's hotter-than-expected inflation. Sam Stovall of CFRA with us next. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, turning less humid today with highs in the low 80s. Abundant sunshine tomorrow, upper 70s. Sunny upper 70s for Friday as well. Right now, 64 under a clear sky in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures set to recoup some of the losses brought on by a hotter-than-expected inflation report that wiped out more than $1.5 trillion from the S&P 500, nearly erasing a four-day rally. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 22 points this morning. Dow futures up 132. NASDAQ futures up 76. And the DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. Yield 3.43%. The yield on the two-year, 3.77%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 29 cents at $87.60 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.80 at $17.15.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0018 against the dollar. British pound 1.1563 and the yen 143.13. And Bitcoin this morning is up 0.7% at $20,370. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Queen Elizabeth II's coffin has arrived at Buckingham Palace ahead of today's procession through London to Westminster Hall. She will lie in state for 4 days until her funeral. The final primaries for this year are over. Rhode Island Democrat Dan McKee now has the chance to be elected to his first full term as governor. McKee assumed the state's top office a year and a half ago after Gina Raimondo joined the Biden administration as Commerce Secretary. McKee got the most with 33%. McKee is the favorite as he faces off against Republican Ashley Callis in November. Primaries were also held in Delaware and New Hampshire. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Red Sox 7-6 in 10 innings. New York's Aaron Judge hit two homers to reach 57. The Mets lost. The Orioles beat the Nationals 4-3. The A's and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to assess the market reaction to yesterday's hotter-than-expected consumer price index. We're joined live this morning by Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA. It's great to speak with you, Sam. Was it the right reaction for markets to drop 4.3% in the S&P, or was it an overreaction?
Good morning, Nathan. No, I think it was an overreaction. Interesting how when you compare the 8.3% for August with the 8.5 in July and 9.1, in a sense, the direction is correct. But when you do look at the monthly numbers, there were surprises. So I think just too many people were leaning to an optimistic print from CPI. And as a result, they just bailed all at once.
So what does this mean for the Federal Reserve? We're getting into this debate now about whether we're going to see 75 basis points again next week, whether the Fed could go as high as 100. What do you think the Fed's going to do, Sam?
I think they're going to go 75 basis points in September, follow it up with 50 in November, and then right now the estimate is 25 in December. Since Alan Greenspan started to offer transparency to Fed rate moves, we've never had anything higher than 75 basis points. You have to go back to the late 1970s, early 80s, and then we actually had seven times in which the Fed raised rates by 100 basis points, but that was with the discount rate.
What's the precedent for the kind of market reaction that we could see to this kind of aggressive tightening we're seeing from this Federal Reserve and to the persistent inflation that we've been seeing over the last several months?
Well, first, I think, you know, let's talk about inflation. I mean, our expectation is that inflation will be coming down. Our belief is that we'll probably end up seeing inflation come in around 6.3% at the end of this year on headline CPI, and then drop to about 2.4% by December of 2023. So the trajectory is still favorable in our opinion. The Fed will be pushing rates up to about 4% in Fed funds. So certainly that is a target that has already been or will soon be built into share prices. The real question, I think, will be what kind of erosion will occur in earnings estimates. Right now, for all of this year, growth is projected at 6.9, but it was 8.9. And for next year, up 7.4, but it was 8.8. So the real question, I think, is what kind of an effect will happen to forward earnings estimates?
What is your call for forward earnings estimates? How much further erosion could we see this year?
Well, traditionally, we have seen an erosion of about one-third in terms of P.E. ratios during bear markets since World War II. We've pretty much already seen much of that. When you look to what's happening in the sector area, the market itself, you know, we're still trading at a slight premium to the long-term average for the S&P 500, about a 4% premium. You know, so we could end up seeing that 17.7 PE come down to the high 15s, as we did back in June, before I think that the all clear might be sounded.
Our last minute here, Sam, with the Fed potentially on the gas, pressing the gas down on interest rate hikes. What's the possibility of recession? Can the Fed still pull off a soft landing, do you think?
I think that's a pretty big estimate if we were to say that. Every time since World War II that we have had a 6.5% increase in headline CPI, and remember, we peaked out at 9.1, we have had both a bear market and a recession. So the real question is not whether we will end up with a recession, but how deep or shallow will it become? Our economists right now are still pointing to a soft landing, but I still think that there is the possibility of at least a mild recession.
All right, Sam, as always, great to get your thoughts. Looking forward to getting more perspective from you on Bloomberg Surveillance as well. Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA, with us this morning. Looking ahead to the market open, we are seeing a bit of recovery after yesterday's slide. S&P futures are up 21 points. That's a gain of about 0.5% right now. Dow futures are up 126. NASDAQ futures higher by 75 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 6/32. The yield 3.43%. Yield on the 2-year 3.77%. NYMEX crude is moving a bit higher, up 0.4%, $87.65 a barrel. The euro just around parity against the dollar at 1.002. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, less humid today. Low 80s. Abundant sunshine tomorrow, upper 70s for highs. We'll keep it sunny, upper 70s for Friday as well. 64 is the current temperature.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, U.S. futures higher in the wake of yesterday's sell-off, which saw the S&P 500 drop more than 4% and the NASDAQ plunge over 5%. Carol Schleif, Deputy Chief Investment Officer at BMO Family Office, says it may be startling, but we should keep it in perspective.
I know that the down days are scary, but I watched 1987 happen. That was 23% in a day, and the year still closed up.
Carol Schleif at BMO Family Office says next week's Fed meeting will be crucial for market sentiment.
Well, yesterday's sell-off spared virtually no corner of equity markets, Karen. It also cost America's richest billionaires dearly. We get more on that from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Jeff Bezos suffered the biggest hit. Data from the Bloomberg Billionaires Index show his wealth plunged by $9.8 billion. Elon Musk's net worth fell by $8.4 billion. And the fortunes of Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, and Steve Ballmer all declined by more than $4 billion. In total, the fortunes of America's richest tumbled by $93 billion. You know, just last month, the same group lost $78 billion in a day after an 8-minute speech from Fed Chair Jay Powell. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. In the UK, there's some slightly positive news on inflation. Prices have gone down slightly, easing off the highest rate in four decades. Today's consumer price index rose at an annual rate of 9.9%. That's a drop from 10.1% in July.
But the bigger story in England right now, Karen, centers on Queen Elizabeth II. Her coffin has arrived at Buckingham Palace. It will soon be taken to Westminster Hall to lie in state for 4 days until her funeral Monday. The army is helping police and London authorities get ready for the event. London Mayor Sadiq Khan says it is a massive job.
We will have almost 300 world leaders and their teams and entourages. I don't think our city's ever seen the sort of presence we're going to see over the next few days. If you think about the London Marathon, the Carnival, previous royal weddings, the Olympics, it's all that in one.
London Mayor Sadiq Khan says rail companies have announced extra service as thousands of mourners head into the city.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, a threatened strike may hit supply chains hard. It could prevent railroads from transporting farm products and other key goods as soon as tomorrow. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
All right, thank you, Karen. 6:33 now on Wall Street, 64 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with that accident on the westbound LIE at Maurice Avenue. Details in traffic first, Michael Barr, with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo filed an ethics complaint against State Attorney General Letitia James about the way she handled a sexual harassment investigation that led to his resignation. Cuomo questioned the accuracy and credibility of the investigation's findings, alleging James, a fellow Democrat, used the probe to tarnish him and further her own political interests. Cuomo resigned in August of last year. The final primaries for 2022 ended with voters in Republican races choosing between moderates and far-right candidates. In the New Hampshire U.S. House race, former Trump White House aide Caroline Leavitt beat out fellow Trump administration official Matt Maurer with 34.6% of the vote. She will face Democrat Chris Pappas in November. In the race for governor of New Hampshire, Democratic nominee Tom Sherman, who ran uncontested, will challenge GOP incumbent Chris Sununu, who won his primary with nearly 79% of the vote. In Rhode Island, Governor Dan McKee won the Democratic gubernatorial primary. He thanked his supporters.
The world is going to change tonight for Rhode Island. It did for us. And now we're going to take full advantage of it. Thank you so much.
Governor McKee will face Republican Ashley Kallas in November. Ukrainian forces have shown a remarkable ability to take advantage of opportunities that present themselves on the battlefield. That's according to Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
We've seen a number of Russian forces, especially in the northeast, in the Kharkiv region, cross over the border back into Russia as they've retreated from the Ukrainian counteroffensive.
General Ryder says the abilities demonstrated by the Ukrainians in the field came as no surprise. Senator Lindsey Graham says he's introducing a bill to ban abortions before 4 months gestation, with a few exceptions.
I feel comfortable at 15 weeks. The science tells us that the nerve endings are developed to the point that the unborn child feels pain.
Senator Graham says the midterm elections will probably determine whether his bill comes up for a vote. Former independent counsel Ken Starr, who led the investigation into Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky, has died in Houston. He died after complications from surgery. Ken Starr was 76. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, Yankees and Red Sox. First of a mini two-game series in Boston. There were a lot of empty seats. The Sox are, after all, in last place. But quite a game. Sox had three different leads. The Yanks kept coming back to tie. Both teams hit three home runs, and the game is tied at four. Tenth inning.
1-1 line. There's a base hit to right center field. In the alley, it'll go all the way to the wall. Canapalapa scores. Judge scores. And the throw home is late. A three-run score, Floreal scores. It is a bases-clearing three-run double for Gleyber Torres.
On WFAN, the Sox got two back. Bottom of the 10th, Yanks held on to win 7-6. The Yankee home run from Marwin Gonzalez and two solo shots for Aaron Judge. Sixth inning off Nick Pivetta. That tied the game at three. Eighth inning off Garrett Whitlock. That tied the game at four. It left Fenway. It landed on Lansdowne Street. So Judge took a big step towards Roger Maris. 19 games left. He's now at 57 home runs. That's 20 more than anyone else in baseball. This was supposed to be the easy part of the Mets schedule, but against Washington, Pittsburgh, Miami, and now the Cubs. Mets just 4-6 in their last 10 games at Citi Field. They had only four hits. They lost 4-1 as Adrian Sampson outpitched Jacob deGrom. And Atlanta won. The Braves are only a half game behind. Two big NFL week one injuries, both perhaps not as serious as feared. Dallas QB Dak Prescott could be back in a month from his injured hand, and Pittsburgh's TJ Watt has a torn pec muscle, but he might return in 6 weeks. Denver coach Nathaniel Hackett now admits he should not have tried a failed game-winning 64-yard field goal at the end of their loss Monday night in Seattle. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us this morning after the rout. Can we call this recovery, Kriti? A little bit of pickup on the futures contracts. What are you looking at this morning?
Yeah, just a touch, about 0.4% when you're looking at S&P 500 futures. I mean, look, yesterday was, I believe, the worst day since going all the way back into 2020. So there is a little bit of, I want to call it a spring effect almost. Essentially, mm-hmm. when you have a spring, you push it down really, really hard. It will have like a little bit of a technical bounce back. That being said, one of the major stock movers this morning is the Starbucks story. SBUX is the ticker. It's up about 2.6%, Nathan. And of course, you know, Starbucks has had quite a bit of movement in the last, I want to say, year or so, especially with their new CEO that's now incoming. Howard Schultz, who had been the CEO and founder of Starbucks for ages, had kind of taking that role as an interim position and then passed it on. I think what's significant here, though, is the fact that it is rising this morning because it raised its three-year outlook for profit and sales. This coming at an annual presentation to investors. Of course, this is a big deal. We know that their China sales have really been suffering, specifically because of the COVID lockdowns. We know China is also one of their major growth markets, so that's really where you see that Starbucks exposure. Analysts, though, talking pretty positively about the upgrades. They are optimistic on that Starbucks company. Jefferies also finding the new three-year targets achievable, and that is high praise coming from Jefferies. So that is all good news on Starbucks. Remember, this is still going to be a question of global chains, of FX as well. The dollar story will impact Starbucks. Remember, in their last earnings call, they warned about the FX impact. So, Nathan, that is the stock I have my eye on this morning.
All right. Well, it's interesting because we've been watching coffee prices themselves as well, and they've been hit pretty hard. A big rally in some coffee prices on the commodities markets. Also taking a look at Oracle. They just reported some pretty solid earnings this week, didn't they?
They did. If I was to make a quick note on Starbucks really quick, is because you brought up commodities. This is really your fault. You brought up the commodities inflation. We're talking about wage inflation as well. Starbucks dealing with a lot of union issues. So
right,
that's going to be something to keep its eye on. You talked about Oracle, though, and that's a very important stock to get to. Remember, Oracle is seen as the old guard of sorts, ORCL, when it comes to tech investing, down about 0.6%. It was initiated as a hold over at Berenberg as the broker saw some balanced opportunities and risks for the software firm. Remember, Oracle is trying to get their foot into cloud services at the moment and trying to get more people to adapt kind of their hybrid system. So right now, it looks like just initiated as a hold at Berenberg, nothing super exciting, but they're not expecting a major re-rating in the medium term.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, always juiced on the caffeine. Thanks for being here in the pre-market. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole, we'll call it a bit of recovery. S&P futures up 17 points right now. Dow futures up 101. NASDAQ futures up 58 points. 10-year treasury is down 7/32. Yield 3.43%. And the yield on the two-year, 3.78%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, less humid today, low 80s for afternoon highs. We'll get into the upper 70s, maybe 80 tomorrow and Friday with sunshine all around. Right now, 64 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are gaining this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Tatiana Daria. Tatiana, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Like you said, it's green on the screen this morning after that big sell-off with the Dow futures up 86 points, S&P's up 16, and NASDAQ up 52. Treasuries, however, remain under pressure, extending losses for a third session. The 10-year yield up 3 basis points to 3.43%. Looking cross-asset, the dollar is weaker, while the Japanese yen is stronger after officials there suggested they will respond to recent moves. Back in the U.S., on the economic front, MBA mortgage applications at 7 and the producer price index at 8:30. In early trading this morning, Starbucks up 3% after raising its three-year outlook, and Nikola shares higher by 5 after an upgrade from BTIG. In other news, Google lost its bid to topple a record $4 billion antitrust fine in Europe, and IBM will take a $5.9 billion one-time pre-tax charge this quarter due to a pension agreement. And wrapping things up here, Oracle was initiated at hold at Berenberg, while Novartis and Bristol Myers were cut to hold. Live from the First and Breaking News Desk, I'm Tatiana Daria. Karen.
All right, Tatiana, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Queen Elizabeth II's coffin will lie in state for 4 days from this afternoon in London. It comes amid warnings that members of the public wishing to attend to pay their respects at Westminster Hall could face up to a 30-hour wait. The final primaries for 2022 are over. In the New Hampshire U.S. House race, former Trump White House aide Caroline Leavitt beat out fellow Trump administration official Matt Maurer with 34.6% of the vote. She will face Democrat Chris Pappas in November. Rhode Island Democratic Governor Dan McKee faces off against Republican Ashley Callis in the fall. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Red Sox 7-6 in 10 innings. New York's Aaron Judge hit two homers to reach 57 this season. The Mets lost. The Orioles beat the Nationals 4-3. The A's and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Hong Kong will quit moving travelers with COVID to isolation hotels or quarantine camps. Instead, they will be allowed to remain in designated quarantine hotels. It marks another easing in the city's travel policy. The move comes as Hong Kong prepares for several high-profile events, including a summit for global bankers at an international rugby tournament. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen will call for radical steps today to stem the energy crisis that will edge closer to rationing measures and higher taxes on energy companies. The key question is whether von der Leyen's proposal for a 5% reduction in gas consumption survives various negotiations. And with weather disasters costing $200 million a day, an irreversible climate catastrophe looming, a new report by the United Nations says the world is, quote, heading in the wrong direction. The World Meteorological Organization, in the latest stark warning about global warming, says weather-related disasters have increased fivefold over the last 50 years and are killing 115 per day on average, and the fallout is poised to worsen. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's just about 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden saying he's not worried about inflation after hotter-than-expected consumer prices for August. The White House considering an emergency decree in case of a railroad strike. The Justice Department saying former President Trump is undercutting himself in his Mar-a-Lago secrets argument, and the Senate to wrestle with a bill that would boost U.S. ties with Taiwan. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joining us from the nation's capital. Emily, so the data didn't go President Biden's way, but when it comes to this economy, it sounds like he's at least trying to stay on message.
Yeah, Nathan, the White House scheduled the celebration for the Inflation Reduction Act. Remember, that was that healthcare tax and climate bill that passed way back in August. But now that lawmakers are back in town, the White House is going to hold a celebration, really say, hey, look, we did it. But of course, on the same day that they're passing a bill with the name the Inflation Reduction Act, inflation for the previous month was reported to be higher than it was expected. Consumer prices increased by 0.1%. Core inflation increased by 0.6%. Biden did note that these aren't exactly giant numbers. He said he wasn't worried. It was only a tenth of a percent. But Nathan, inflation continues to be the issue that is really defining these midterms. There are a couple other ones, but if you talk with folks, the economy just continually comes up as a big thing that they are concerned about. And this is really showing that for Democrats, it's not like inflation is suddenly going to go down ahead of November. They're probably going to have to deal with high inflation as they go into the election. And even though they, you know, tried to name this bill inflation reduction, this isn't something that Americans are seeing. And even if this bill does reduce inflation, it's not going to happen quickly within the next few weeks.
And now we're seeing this threat of a nationwide railroad strike causing the potential, if it happens, to add to price pressures even further. What's the White House doing about that?
So the White House is beginning to prepare for a potential use of emergency powers to ensure that critical materials that these railways usually transport can still be delivered, even if there's a strike. they think things like chlorine that are needed for wastewater treatment plants, something that if they don't get it, they're not going to be able to put out water that we can all drink. So there's a lot of really critical materials here. Also, this goes back to the inflation thing. If certain materials can't get out, can't get delivered, that's going to lower the supply and jack up prices. It's really something the White House needs to avoid. They have until Friday to come up with an agreement for these unions, unless Congress wants to bump that deadline back. But at this point, it's both the White House as well as Congress is trying to prepare for a potential strike, for what that would mean. It's fairly, really a big story right now as far as what the implications could be if we hit Friday and these two major unions still haven't reached a deal.
And all this is coming, of course, just less than 2 months before a midterm election. What's the level of concern at the White House about whether Democrats are going to be able to try to stem any losses against Republicans in the control or the fight for control of Congress?
I mean, certainly if this railroad strike happens, if these materials aren't able to get out there, this is going to impact Biden and this is going to impact Democrats. I mean, Biden came into the White House saying that he was a deal maker. He is now being personally involved in these negotiations. A lot really rests on him to kind of show that, that he can avert this potential crisis. You know, the midterms, Democrats have gotten a little bit of momentum that that they didn't have before, but that could easily be lost if something like this occurs. And we see some wide-ranging impacts on the economy just because, again, things aren't getting delivered when they need to be.
All right, let's turn to some of our other stories in Washington, D.C. We've got this new court filing in the Mar-a-Lago investigation, the Justice Department looking into that classified material seized from former President Trump's home. What's the latest?
Yeah, so a lot of back and forth here. But basically what the Justice Department is trying to do is they're trying to convince a federal judge to exclude about 100 classified documents from her order halting the Justice Department from using the thousands of records while a special master reviews them. Remember, that special master is that third party. They're going to review the documents with the intention of making sure that all of them do fit what the Department of Justice is allowed to have, that and that none of them are personal records, as Trump has claimed. The Department of Justice also kind of tried to point out what they see as a bit of a flaw in former President Trump's argument about these documents. They're saying that if he did declassify them as his personal records, then he can't assert executive privilege over those records. And kind of saying that, you know, this dual argument that Trump is making really doesn't hold water. Again, this is something that we're seeing a lot of back and forth in the courts over. We saw it over the special master. Now we're seeing it over whatever the special master is allowed to review. Of course, the Justice Department has said that there are a lot of security concerns on the line, including national security, if they cannot review these documents, assess what kind of information was in Mar-a-Lago and who might have had access to that information.
Just 30 seconds left here, Emily, but tell us more about this Senate bill coming up on Taiwan today.
Yeah, so this bill is going to be having a markup today in the Foreign Affairs panel, and it, among other things, would give Taipei $4.5 billion for defense over 4 years, as well as recognize its democratically elected government as a legitimate representative of the people of Taiwan. This is just continuing what we've already seen, lawmakers being very supportive of Taiwan from both parties, even at the risk of angering China and the government in Beijing.
Thanks, Emily. Good having you on with us. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 17 points. Dow futures up 106. NASDAQ futures up 61 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 7/32. The yield 3.43%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.77%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.